We're going to turn our thoughts to the lesson, and we're going to pick up where we left off. This will be part two of talking about predestination. And want us to think about when Christ went to the cross to earn our salvation, our justification. He had faith that the Godhead would raise him from the dead with not one sin left on him, spotless. And that's part of the promise of life that we see in, I've got three verses here that the Bible talks about this. 2 Timothy 1, verse 1. Let me try and get these posted up here, because to me it's pretty powerful. As powerful as Romans 11:13. Here it names Paul. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. So I understand that to be talking about the same thing, that that Christ took our sins on himself, and he had faith that the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, would raise him from the dead without any sin, with the sins all paid for, died for. That's why I say died for, sins died for is more important and more momentous than sins forgiven, because sins forgiven depends on them being died for. Let's look in Titus. Titus chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 2 and 3. And that states, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. So it's in hope of eternal life, but God calls us to exercise faith too. Christ had faith and went to the cross because of it, but then we're called on to trust in that sacrifice that Christ made for us. We're to exercise faith not as payment for justification, but as our receiving of God's gift of eternal life. You can see our faith in addition to the faith of Jesus Christ in several places in the Bible. One of the most stark, obvious places to see it is in Galatians 2:16. Knowing that, well, let me post that too. Hold on. If someone has a poster and would like to post these, just start posting as I read them, and I'll be helped. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. So, well, with that statement alone, isn't it silly to tell somebody they have to repent? They have to behave better in order to be saved? Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed. There's our part. That's our faith. Faith of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ's faith, but even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, Christ's faith, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Well, in that verse in Galatians 2:16, you can see both your faith and the faith of Jesus Christ are needed to be saved, for us to be saved. It says the same thing in Philippians 3, verse 9, and in Romans 3. Let me get Philippians 3, 9. It's a powerful verse, too. We heard it a few minutes ago, but let's... Well, maybe we didn't. That was yesterday. All right. Change of mind. repent. And that's the true meaning, the meaning that when it does appear in Scripture, it takes that meaning, repentance, not be sorry for your sins and change and do better and maybe God will accept you. No, that's not repentance. It's a corrupted, a changed definition through the years. It's come to mean that through preaching, people preaching the wrong doctrine. But look at this verse, Philippians 3:9, and be found in him. That's the important thing. How do you get in Christ? Christ, and those in Christ are seated in heavenly places right now. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. You know, I obeyed the law. I, you know, managed to do every point in the law. I'm good enough now, all right? Well, you're still dead. Born dead in sins, and you need to be quickened. Ephesians 2:1. And that's what salvation does. It quickens us, gives us the life that Adam lost. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Jesus Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And then Romans 3:21-22, and that states that, get it posted there, okay, but now, that's beautiful words, there's a change that has been brought about by God, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law, not our righteousness, the righteousness of God is pointed to by the law, it's told about by the law, witnessed by the law, and the prophets. And let me get the other verse up there. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. Like we said before, it was Jesus Christ's faith that took him to the cross to pay for every last sin that we'll ever commit. Die for it. He died for it. They're all died for. All you have to do is receive the benefit. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And I've used the illustration before about a car wash. You pull into a car wash and you see the little sign there, and how much money you're going to put in determines whether you get, undercarriage washed, or you get the top washed and rinsed. But do you want wax? Well, the wax is loaded into the guns, or the chute, you know, the trigger there. It's loaded. All you got to do is put your extra coins in, telling the machine that you want the wax put on your car, and it'll come out. It's there for everybody. Everybody goes through that car wash. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. It's available to all, just like that car wax. But it's only upon all them that believe. You know, you believe you're going to need the car wax, you put the coins in. Again, no analogy is perfect, though. We don't have any works to do. Romans 4:5 tells us straight out that faith is not a work. It's not something it says, not by, that's something else, wait, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. So, they're opposing, they're opposites. To him that worketh not, but believeth. Okay. All right. I hope that we're getting an accurate picture here. All those verses show the faith that Jesus Christ had. He had to have that faith, and our faith, too, that we have to have in trusting that Christ took care of all our sin, condemnation, and our salvation. our quickening. Jesus Christ became our sin and made believers to be the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, let's get back. We're going to look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I don't try to pin that down to say, well, that's talking about the faith of Jesus Christ, or that's talking about my faith in the faith of Jesus, or that's talking about my faith, period. I think it's that way for that reason, because it's all-inclusive. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It took Christ's faith and our faith. Christ's faith to go to the cross, knowing that he was giving up control. He was dying. And yet he went to the cross and took all our, became our sin. And when he died and was resurrected without any sins left on him, we were justified by faith. And it goes on to say, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access. And this is one place that some of the denominations fall down. They mess up. We don't have access by grace into faith, into having faith in Christ. God doesn't grace us, some of us, with faith, and some of us he doesn't. We have access by faith. Those that believe have access into that grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we have access by faith into this grace, not the opposite. We don't have to wait for a capricious God to grace us with the faith enough to believe. That's not grace. Grace is not conditional, other than it must be received by faith. There's no place in the Bible that there is any human being that cannot have the faith to believe the gospel. At least at some point in their life, you know, thinking about Judas there, he made wrong choices. He could have chosen the right thing. I'm confident somebody else would have been the son of perdition if Judas would have chosen right. But we can already believe, having heard that, having heard God's word in from the Bible. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. And we have access by faith into this grace. Romans 5:2 is so important regarding predestination. Those who claim that God chooses from the start who is going to be saved, who's going to be lost, and that they were created to suffer damnation, they display a lack of study, because that is not the start. That's the middle step, that we have faith into this grace. It's in the middle of this sequence of things that we have to do, we have to believe. It's a combination. God did all the work, okay? He made all the provision necessary. We have to take the step of faith, faith being different from works, not being a work. The truth is that God foreknew your choice. He didn't choose as a monster, you're going to go to hell because I created you to go to hell. No. People go to the lake of fire because they have not believed the gospel of their salvation. They were born in sins. Born dead in sins, and they have not received the quickening of the Spirit when they trusted the gospel. They had not trusted the gospel. God can see in the future. He can see ahead of time. he did see. Before he created the earth, he knew who would believe and who would not believe the gospel. Regarding all of humanity, God does not predestinate who's going to be saved. God predestinates who's going to be conformed to the image of his Son. And in the process, he calls them, he justifies them, but in between God calling you and justifying you, you believe the gospel of your salvation. Again, look at the verse, Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your faith is involved there, but first of all, God foreknew that you would believe or have faith in the gospel of salvation. He knew that before he called you. People that claim that God chooses for you, that you're going to go to hell, they're building theories without studying to include all the inspired scriptures. They take one verse and they bend it to make it fit their theory. Also, when you look in Romans 5, verse 2, we see reference to the future of the believer in Christ crucified. Christ being crucified for our sins, and when you believe that, you're saved. And in the future, it says, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5, 2. Hope is all about the future. Remember the assurance that we have in Romans 8, 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, them he glorified. Romans 8, verses 29 and 30 are very tight. There's no going, no backing out from start to finish. From God foreknowing your choice to believe to God glorifying you. When God foreknew your choice to believe, when it came the time that he called by the gospel, you did believe. And it says, them whom he called, them he also justified. So we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And these next verses help to explain Romans 8, verse 30, that we just looked at. Keep in mind that there's a difference between a person being called by God to believe and a person calling on God for help after they've believed. There's a difference there. The same word is used, call, but it's going the opposite way, the reverse. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Let's keep comments on the topic, please. The step before calling on the Lord is to believe on him. Only the believers can call on him. We need to believe the gospel of salvation. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? The step before believing in him is to hear of him. Only those who hear the Lord, the gospel, the word of God, only those who hear the gospel can believe it. If a person had not heard of the Lord, how can they believe in him? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The step before hearing of the Lord is that there be a preacher. Needs to be a preacher, someone to tell them the good news. And we are ambassadors to tell that good news. Without a preacher or the Bible, a person cannot hear of the Lord. And how shall they hear, it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? The Holy Ghost sent Paul to Israel to draw out a remnant, not according to prophecy, but to draw out a remnant according to the choice of grace, the election of grace. So, well, we're going to summarize here for a minute. Romans 10:14 says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Well, by the time of Acts 13, the Holy Ghost had sent Paul to preach the gospel of salvation to the same people that God all along had been working with, working through Israel and the Israel blessers along with Israel. When Paul preached the gospel of salvation to those Israelites and Israel blessing Greeks in the synagogues, that was when they heard. They heard it. That was the hearing. And they had their opportunity to believe to be saved, according to Romans 10:14. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, that also has to do with the Holy Ghost sending Paul. And in Acts 13, when the Holy Ghost sent Paul with the new gospel of salvation, that being the mystery of Christ, the message of salvation that Paul preached was the same throughout, the message. And when the Holy Ghost sent Paul with this new gospel of salvation, new because it wasn't the circumcision gospel, but the Bible does not record that at that time there was a change in whom the new gospel was sent. It was sent to the same people. You see that in Acts over and over and over. For a while, Paul's new gospel of Christ crucified for our sins was still sent to the Jews and those who blessed the Jews, fearing the God of Abraham. Now, that doesn't mean that if somebody that's not a Jew or not blessing Israel, if they heard Paul or somebody else preaching the gospel, that they could realize their need and receive the Savior, receive his dying for their sins. Even people like us, if they heard the gospel, could respond to it. But Paul, it's just a matter of who Paul was sent to, is the ones that he writes to, and you have to keep that in mind in who was the writer as well as who was he writing to when you read the Acts epistles. But they're all, you know, it has to do with the mystery of Christ. And that's a overall term of what Paul was called into, and that Paul was saved because of. He couldn't have been saved into Israel. He had already committed Israel's unforgivable sin. So he was saved into something different, and you can see that in 1 Corinthians 10:32, 1 Corinthians 11:16, 11:22. That section there in 1 Corinthians is loaded with references that show that there were two churches, two groups of believers. Some believed in the covenants, rightly so, God had promised them. And there were some individuals, even after the fall of Israel in Acts 7, some individuals that still came to God. If you look in 1 Corinthians 7:18, you can see that. 1 Corinthians 7:18 clearly says that some were called in circumcision and that they should stay circumcision. And others were called in uncircumcision and they shouldn't try to be the circumcision. In Ephesus, that was in the Acts period there Acts 19, I believe, Acts 19. It's mentioned in Ephesians 1:12 that it was we not being you and me listening to the scripture, but Paul speaking. And those he was talking about in his first visit to Ephesus, we who first trusted in Christ, you can read that in Acts 19. I'm trying to think of 18 or not. Yeah, 18 was Corinth, wasn't it? Okay. It was we who first trusted in Christ, being Paul and those Jews and Greeks in that synagogue that it names there in Acts 19, verses 8 through 10. So it was a while later that the Bible first recorded Christ sent Paul to all men with the new gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. The same wording, the same message. It's just a little wider sending. Acts 13:41 testifies that during that period, at that time, Paul was fulfilling the work that was prophesied in Habakkuk 1:5. So they're tied together. And after Israel was cast away at the end of Acts, that you don't hear any more of that. All you hear of is Paul addressing all men with the gospel of salvation. So, you know, we just read that in Ephesians 1:12, he says, we who first trusted in Christ. Well, in Ephesians 1:15, in Ephesus, the believers that Paul had only heard of were the ones that were the ye also in Ephesians 1:13, the post-Acts period believers in Ephesians 1:13, who trusted after they had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, Ephesians 1:13. So it was another step later in Acts that Christ sent Paul to preach and to write to all men. To the Gentiles that were far hence doctrinally, not merely the Gentiles whose synagogue presence would provoke Israel to jealousy and save some of them. In Acts 22:18, verse 18 and 21, just before Christ sent Paul to those far off Gentiles, he previewed to Paul in Acts 18 in the temple that he would send him to all men in the future, but not to tell anybody yet about it, for they would not receive his testimony. Well, the wording is, he would not receive thy... Christ told Paul that those outside the synagogue would not receive thy testimony concerning Jesus and concerning what Jesus was telling him then. And we see that later when he does tell them in Acts 22, verse 22, they riot. They try to kill him for saying that the ones that cursed Israel, God was going to save now. Yeah, the far-off Gentiles, no, they couldn't take that. And they still can't today. But it was after Paul's temple vision in Acts 18:22, told about in Acts 22:17-21, it was after that temple vision that Christ sent Paul to people that did not bless Israel, people that had no access to God through Israel. They didn't want to know God. But Paul was sent to preach to them, to people that did not care about whatever promises or covenants God had made with Israel, with whatever their people, you know, a people for God. They didn't know or care about that in the past. But they know, they knew they needed a Savior, some of them, the ones that received the grace of God and the saving message that Paul was sent to them with after his temple vision there. By God's grace, he now saves us that same way that Paul, unforgivable Paul, was saved. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save, not the law keepers, to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And that word chief in the next verse, the same word is translated first, among whom I am first. That's the only way that we can come to God today. Change your mind about getting to be good enough for God and accept your place as a sinner needing Christ Jesus for your Savior. It wasn't that God's grace changed or that his provision for salvation changed. It was just that it was later that all people were included in those that heard. Romans 10:14, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And once we start hearing, then we become able to believe. If someone happened to hear before Paul's all men sending, they could believe and they could be saved too. So it's not a restriction. It has to do with who Paul was sent to, who he was responsible for getting the message to. He did other things. He went to the market. He bought things. He made tents. But he also was sent to certain people. And besides that, he could have preached to alien Gentiles. Doesn't say he did, but it doesn't say he didn't. That's not the point, in other words. The point is that who he's sent to is who he writes to. And when he writes to those, to all men, after the end of Acts in the prison epistles, 100% of that applies to us. When he writes to the Acts epistle churches or synagogues, to the churches that came out of the synagogues and met in Paul's meetings, when he wrote to them, there's a lot of church stuff in there, body of Christ stuff, the gospel of salvation is in there. But there's also some things that have to do with winning Israel still, winning those few, the remnant according to the election of grace. There was going to be a remnant, a small portion of Israel that God knew would come into the body of Christ if they heard the gospel. And so Paul was sent there before the big rush, and after which you read Ephesians 4:3, endeavor to keep the unity. It was a difficult thing with the confluence of those two cultures into the one body of Christ. All right, we'll try to finish this, not tomorrow, we don't meet tomorrow, maybe Monday, well, next Thursday probably.